And right now I've got a dear friend I haven't talked to in a while, but I've been seeing so many posts from my friend, Carmen Gardner. Carmen. So good to talk to you.
Cindy.
Gosh, I've known Carmen, should we say how many years? Maybe not. I mean, how many years?
Do we dare? I think
Silent Radio. I think I first met you way back in 1986 when I came here first, before everything happened. You were the program director here at KAOI-FM, and very efficient, doing work that a lot of, I have to say, at that time, Carmen, there were very few women program directors, right?
Especially for an AOR rock station.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So we were kind of, breaking ground?
I think so, absolutely. And
cutting edge?
Yeah, definitely cutting edge. Definitely cutting edge, and I love that. And you always were multi-talented and extremely creative. And when did you first have that urge to go into acting? When did that evolve?
Oh, well, that was probably sometime during the radio days, you know. I mean, creating a radio character, as it were.
Yeah.
And then I would say probably around 1989, probably around the time that I left Kauai. Well, I didn't really ever leave it, did I? but full time, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And went to work over at the college. And someone, I forget who it was, but encouraged me to do a role. And so I did. And one thing led to another. And then the next thing you know, I was executive director of Maui on Stage for many years until the early 2000s.
When did you meet Craig?
1988.
Wow.
I first went to work at the college. We were on the Board of Student Publications together. And he was an instructor, and I was doing media management, I guess you could say, or PR for the college here on Maui.
And, you know, Craig has actually had an amazing background. He wasn't from Hawaii. I think did he grow up in Florida?
Well, he graduated from University of Miami, but he was born in, I believe it was New Jersey, but lived and grew up in New York on Long Island.
Ah.
And then went to college in Shreveport, Louisiana. And got a degree in acting and speech, I believe. Or that might have been his master's. But, yeah, he was into acting and then graduated with his master's at University of Miami. And then we met at the college in about 1988.
Was he a professor then at the college?
He was. He retired as a professor in 2019, about September, I believe it was, of 2019, after he received his, diagnosis.
And let's talk about this. Now, I mean, go back to when you got married. I mean, it was quite an amazing love affair. A lot of people who knew you and Craig kind of like twin souls in a way. You had this amazing passion for acting and the creative arts, and it seemed like it just was such a natural thing with both of you loving teaching, both of you loving speaking and communication and the creative arts, right? So how
exactly?
How did it happen? Where that evolved? Where
he was
your relationship?
The one who encouraged me to get into acting. Actually, what happened was I had dabbled in it a little bit, and with radio voiceovers, all of that, and he encouraged me to get on stage and thought I might have fun with it. And the first play that we ever did together was Love Letters, and that was at the EL Theater. And at that time Linda Lingle was mayor, I believe, and she and a partner, we took turns with different so-called celebrity couples around the islands in different scenes. And so we did that together. And then eventually he became the head of the theater/drama department at the college. and I helped him to build that program, started a drama club and, you know, that kind of thing. And then I left, and I believe it was around 95, to take over the theater as executive director.
Uh-huh.
And so it was kind of, you know, a hand-holding thing, or we just meshed two programs so that the college and the drama program there could then encourage the serious actors to audition or participate in Maui on stage. And so we did that together for several years, and he directed quite a few shows, several for Maui on stage, and then every year he would also do a project at the end of the semester, the spring semester, that featured some of the students or playwriters or, you know, whatever the program evolved into on a particular year.
And when did you get married?
1992, December 16th of 1992, in St. Thomas, Charlotte Amalia, on St. Thomas.
I didn't know that.
Bluebeard's Castle.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a Bluebeard's Castle there?
Yeah, supposedly, you know, some pirate castle, I guess. They touted it as such.
Wow, that's amazing. So here you were, and then, of course, you evolved into your other careers as really becoming an amazing artist. I mean, truly an amazing artist. And I remember the first ones you did when you did those little figures that were made actually out of stuffed stockings. I don't know if it's still there at Stingrays, those characters that are up there. Are they still there?
I mean,
but you were doing that, and they were so clever, and you'd see them around the island, you know, these amazing characters, and then you evolved into your watercolor work, and truly just more and more kept evolving until you developed quite a large audience, showings at Viewpoints Gallery in Makawa, and having a lot of commissions. And I think in Art, I think you've entered Art Maui before, of course, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and several years in a row selected. And yeah, that was an honor. I had one of my paintings selected by the board of directors for the publicity image for the following year. So you can only get that honor once. And so I was just thrilled with you know, that little.
Well, your paintings are stunning, absolutely stunning, and I'm a huge
fan.
Thank you, Cindy. And then it happened. You know, you said 2019. He got the diagnosis. And what was the diagnosis?
It was just the worst roller coaster ride, because I think we touched on this the last time you and I spoke here on Kauai AM. In December of 2018, my son was found deceased. And that caused me, the shock of that, to have what's called a Takotsubo heart attack, which is from shock. It's also known as broken heart syndrome.
And it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. The left ventricle changes shape. The word Takotsubo is from the Japanese, who named the syndrome, which means octopus trap.
Wow.
Apparently, the octopus crawls in and cannot crawl out, so taco. And that's what happens to the left ventricle. And so, yeah, your troponin level spikes. And, you know, it's a heart attack, but not caused by blockages, which most are. And the ironic thing is that it happens mostly to women.
Uh-huh.
And so that happened. And when I got out of the hospital, maybe about a month and a half later, Craig got his diagnosis, and it was non-small cell lung cancer. And they gave him, 6 months to a year at the most, but he fought it for 3 years, almost to the day, and passed away 2 weeks ago on Thursday. So it was March 3rd.
You posted a beautiful post on Facebook, and many of your friends were aware of what was going on. But if someone has not gone through going through this terrible disease of cancer, and I mean, there's been every disease is terrible, but cancer is so, so difficult. Of course, everyone's been focusing on COVID over the last couple of years. But, you know, COVID is relatively quick in the actual situation, you know, of knowing it and maybe getting it. But with cancer, it can be years. And with this case, it was years. And the hardest part is watching the person you love get weaker and weaker. And
exactly.
It's heartbreaking.
And feeling so powerless to do anything.
Yeah, 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 you are.
I think that's the worst part. But it was like I likened it to, well, at first, like a roller coaster ride blindfolded that you've never been on before.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel that cart that you're in, you know, chugging up the hill. And you know that the crest is coming, but you don't know when. And you're going to have that downward rush or, you know, speeding downward and then a sharp turn.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't know when it's coming. So you just hang on for your life. And then the other metaphor, probably a poor one, but was that I, toward the end, I felt like I was driving a car and he was riding shotgun and we're heading for a cliff and I can see that cliff coming and it's coming faster and faster and I have no control, no steering, no brakes, and I know we're going to go over that cliff. And I was saying this to my doctor and he said, and then what happens? And I said, well, we go over the cliff. And he said, and then what happens?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, Craig doesn't survive. And he says, and then what happened? And I had to think for a minute. And then I said, oh, yeah, I do.
And, I've had that same dream before. And it's strangely much the same dream in a car going over a cliff and having no control. And so I know exactly what that dream feels like.
You
posted last week, 8:33 p.m., that was actually 2 weeks ago, right? 8:30.
Yeah, March 3rd, 8:33 p.m., I got the call, and it was really strange because I had made arrangements in January because I knew, you know, according to the hospital, which, by the way, I have to just give a huge shout-out to Hospice Maui. They are incredible. They held my hand from the time they came on board to the very, and still are. They are amazing. And I'm going to donate a painting to them. I'll tell you about that, you know, in a minute. But what was really, coincidental, we'll say. I had realized on Thursday the 3rd, that evening after spending time with him all that day, and he was pretty much non-responsive except for when I walked in and said, I'm here. I remembered that the lady that I met with at the mortuary said, when I asked her about, you know, an urn or whatever, she said, oh, you know, you can probably find something really nice on Amazon. I know a lot of people have. So it hit me at that time at like 8-something that evening. Oh, my gosh, I forgot to do that. And, you know, didn't want anything to happen without me having everything in place because I didn't know what kind of emotional shape I would be in.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on and found a beautiful carved one that I thought he would like since he was into sculpting. And I hit the button, order, and it came to my email and made a ding, and at the same time, the phone rang.
Wow.
And it was hospice telling me he had just taken his last breath.
Oof. Oof.
And then it started to pour rain, and we hadn't had rain here.
Yes.
For the longest time, and it just was a downpour.
Yep.
And I was speechless.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't talk because everything happened so in that little moment of linear time, you know?
Yeah, I do absolutely know. And there were no mistakes in that, you know? I loved Greg LeGoy, and he passed away just recently, you know, from a heart attack. And then, of course, you know, his wife passed away a few weeks later. And Greg's such an important part of hospice. And I went down... You know how it is, you know, it's like everyone was like, what? How's that possible? You know,
exactly.
And at the same time, you know, I got when I read your post and I kind of knew that you'd kind of been going through this horrific time for years, you know. I mean, how can anyone endure the loss of a child and then the loss of the husband? It is something
Then 2 months later, after I returned from teaching in Tuscany, the night I returned, my mother died suddenly.
Oh, my gosh.
And so then dealing with chemo, and yeah, it's been, ooh. But, yeah, the whole, well, how Craig ended up at the Halle was Kathy Baldwin, who, another shout out for her, Aloha, and she kept telling me, she came over and sat here on the Sunday of the opening at Viewpoints of the current show, Celebration of Hawaii, which was that Sunday right before he passed, the 27th.
Uh-huh.
And when I returned, I only stayed like, you know, a half hour or 40 minutes or something. I just felt like I had to be here. And when I got back, she said, Carmen, you need to get him to the Halle.
Yeah.
And she just felt it. She didn't, like, examine him. She's an RN, and she's the one who was taking care of Victoria, Greg LaGoy's wife, after Greg passed. And she kept insisting, and then she texted me on Monday and said, I've been thinking about this all night, and you need to make sure that Hospice Maui gets him to the Halle.
Yeah.
That you can't do this by yourself anymore.
No.
And make a long story short, the next day, the social worker said, when the nurses arrive, I want you to go out and do something out of the house and let them see exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out and mowed, and when I finished mowing, I the nurse's assistant approached me and said the nurse wanted to speak to me. And they were both like sweatier than I was from mowing the property. And so I came up, and she said, I don't know how you've been doing this yourself. He has to go to the Halle.
Yeah.
And I've talked to my supervisor and my superiors, and we're taking him tomorrow. So he got there Wednesday the 2nd and passed away Thursday night.
Wow.
So that was like another one of those things that you can't really explain, you know?
Well,
you know
you can't.
I mean?
And as much as you can anticipate and as much as you know what's happening and you see it, it's still not the same thing as the actual experience. I did a whole series of videos on talks that were given on Oahu about death with some of the top philosophers, teachers. They did a whole series of talks on death. And there was one man giving a talk there on death, and one of his students who had been going, an elderly Asian woman, raised her hand in one of the classes, and she said, you know, Professor, I've been taking these classes, and I've been hearing you talk about death, and I have now been given the diagnosis, and I know I'm going to die. And as much as we can talk about it, when you actually are going through it and going through that whole process, it's not the same. It's just not the same at all.
No. And, you know, you can read all the stages of grief and, you know, everything. But until you are in that situation of really knowing that your time here in this reality is limited, you cannot grasp. For some reason, I think it's a protective mechanism that we're born with.
Yep.
I mean, I think we're born dying, you know, and we all know it's going to happen. So what I have learned, I think, throughout this experience is that the only reality and the only important thing is this moment, this one, right here.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard to be mindful when you're with someone who you care about who is suffering, or, you know, you see them physically getting worse and worse. And the way this manifests on Craig, I would have never in a million years expected, because it started, you know, in the lung, or so we think. But then toward the end, it was all over his abdomen, torso, back around the side, just horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And he, at the end, was suffering and didn't want to take so much medication that he wouldn't be cognizant, that he wouldn't be lucid. And so it was hard for me never to know how much to give him. And the whole time, he was just trying to make sure that I was going to be happy, that I was going to move forward and not look back. And same thing with one of his college friends who he just loved, that he thought, you know, is like a brother. And so, oddly enough, he's texting him and saying, you guys need to take care of each other, and and he lives like in LA, but was up to the night before he went to the Halle, that's what he was concerned with. And even his last words to me were, don't look back, look forward.
Okay, on that note, I'm going to say, you've created some amazing things we didn't talk about on your trips. Your art trips were amazing. And, of course, everything was put on hold. I think we talked about that before. But you do have now on schedule a couple of looking forward. And I don't
know.
You have Tuscany. A couple of amazing trips. When's Tuscany happening?
Tuscany will be on October 8th through the 15th. It's first class all the way in an ancient monastery that's been totally remodeled, has a spa and the whole bit, first class food, wine until it's flowing out of your ears in Chianti. And then we'll be visiting hill towns, and I'll be teaching painting, and we'll be doing excursions every day. And as I said, like these incredible 4 or 5 course dinners every night in this incredibly beautiful establishment. And I've been there. This will be my third time. And so I'm really looking forward to that as, you know, that light.
I want to go. I want to go.
You should come.
I really do
want
to. I want to come. I definitely want to come. And because, you know, Tuscany is so magical. And, you know, the thing is, if you're doing it with the attitude of art and seeing it with that eye, you're seeing the best of it and the light there and the energy. And to be able to do it with a group of lovely people, how magical
exactly.
is that?
And it's for all levels. And when I teach, I make sure to cover so that everybody is having a good time. We may not, and I tell them, don't put the onus on yourself to go home with a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to learn, to have fun, explore, experience, and then, you know, and learn, and then go back and take your photographs with you, and then create your masterpiece.
Yes.
And it may take you 4 or 5 tries.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you're here to have a really good time. We'll talk about color. We'll talk about composition and light. And, you know, I'm not sure what the project will be. It will depend on who signs up. I always wait until I know, and then I hear the workshop step by step by step for the folks that come. So it's not like, you know, we would be so far ahead of somebody who hasn't, let's say, done watercolor or oil or whatever. So.
Well, I went on the site, and I have to say, Carmen, you have a beautiful site, CarmenGardner.com. Yeah. And you know what? That trip you have planned in Tuscany is very affordable considering what you're doing. And what I mean, I was amazed at the price, really.
Yeah. What is it? $3,000 or something?
Yeah.
$3,100.
Yeah. It's amazing.
For
amazing.
7 nights.
Yes. That's
and
fantastic.
All the food and all the wine and all the excursions and art.
Yes. We're just about out of time. And I'm so glad you had the time and energy to call in. I mean, I just really respect you and honor you and love you. And I know you have so many beautiful friends that are sending you prayers and hugs and love. But I have to close with saying, you know, I mean, I know Craig, you know, I tune into energy and spirit, and he has so much love and so much gratitude. I mean, really, he's just there. He said he always will be there with you, and he can't wait to see you again on the other side when you move forward to that point.
Aww.
And
thank you, Cindy, for that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, it's true.
He has, I'm going to say in the present, because he does. He has a beautiful, selfless spirit, and I'm sure that's what's living on.
Well, God bless you, my friend, and you take care, and I look forward to seeing you, if not before, maybe at least in Tuscany, okay?
At least.
At Cindy. Least.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Okay, a big aloha to you.
And aloha to you, too.